Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. And, you know, I don't even know what to talk to you about because I don't think anything's happened recently. There's just really nothing going on in the Buccaneers world. So
I went on vacation and came back and everything was different.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to need you to do that more often,
right?
Because apparently you leave and, like, all the things happen.
I did know that I was leaving during the first week of free agency, so it was predictable.
Right, that is very true. So we are doing something a little bit different today before we dive into all of the things that definitely did happen. We are going to be taking questions from Facebook Live from now on. We can also, I will try to also check Twitter sometimes, but if you do have a question for us, go onto the Buccaneers Facebook page, onto our live stream. That's where I'll be looking for the questions.
And we can just throw one in at any time.
And we can
right?
just kind of throw them in. We're not going to have a whole segment for the questions like before.
Nice.
So just as we see things, just as, you know, shoot them out at us while we're on
it's
here.
Like we're
I'll try
a conversation
to.
With
exactly.
The fans.
We're right here chatting with you guys. We want to hear about it all, and I'm going to try to keep up. It moves pretty quickly, so this is going to be a new experience for me, making sure that I keep up on here as best as I can.
Well, throw it in and just interrupt me if I'm in the middle of talking.
Yeah, but excuse me. Hold on. We have
stop.
A question here. So let's go ahead and just get started. Free agency, there are a million ways we could take this, but why don't we start with the new additions to
okay.
the team? We're going to get to the people we've re-signed as well, but for now, the new additions that we signed, and I'll let you pick whoever you want to talk about first. Who maybe were you most
hoping
excited
for.
About that we were able to get?
I was really hoping that we would either get Andrew Norwell or Ryan Jensen, and Andrew Norwell signed right away with the Jaguars for a huge deal. But we were able to get Ryan Jensen, and from everything, the Baltimore Center, and from everything that we've been reading and from what he himself said, he had a lot of suitors. There were a lot of teams. In fact, he went to Indy after visiting here but came back. So it's awesome that we were able to be the team that landed him. Obviously, he's a center. He just played a really good season for Baltimore. It was his first full season as a starter, though he'd made some other starts, including a guard. But he really took advantage of the opportunity, and, of course, it worked out perfectly for him right before unrestricted free agency. That's good when that happens. And he had a great year. Apparently plays a very physical style. He calls himself a tone setter. We could use that. Now, I think our guys are pretty good at setting the tone already. But another one's not going to hurt. You know, you want your line to be a little nasty. You want them to be maulers, especially in the middle, right? So presumably that'll move Ali Marpet back to one of the other guard spots. And there's still a little bit up in the air on the other one, but I think he got a lot better up front. And considering the Buccaneers haven't had a good running game since 2015, this could make a really big difference.
And that's interesting hearing about the idea of the way it affects Ali Marpet and the line overall. Are you excited about that idea
yeah.
of getting to see Ali Marpet back at guard again?
Yeah, and I was interested to find out towards the end of last season that apparently Ali Marpet really enjoyed playing center. It wasn't like he was forced to go there, and he apparently came on very well. And so we could have gone into next year and kept him at center, and that would have been fine. And plus, you also now have that option if you need it. If your center gets hurt or something, you got another really good option you could slide in. So it's great to have those versatile guys. But he was so good at guard in 2016, seemed like a budding star. So it'll be cool to see him move back there now. Is it going to be right or left guard? That's still a question mark, and you probably can't decide that yet because there's a lot still up in the air. Will the Bucs draft another guy? Could they bring back Kevin Pamphile?
Mm-hmm.
What's J.R. Sweezy's health situation? When's he going to be ready to play again? You know, J.R. Sweezy has primarily or only played right guard. If you brought back Kevin Pamphile, he's mostly been a left guard, although he's very, very versatile. If you draft somebody in the draft, that could depend on it. And, you know, Ali played left tackle in college. I don't think he'd have any trouble on the left side. Used to be more of a division there. Your right guy was usually your more mauler guy, the run-blocking guy, and your left guard was usually the guy that was better at pass protection, more nimble feet. But I think those distinctions have gone away a little bit.
Right.
So it's a little bit interchangeable as long as you can handle playing on either side, because you kind of have to mirror what you do. You kind of have to flip it, right?
Right, yeah, that makes sense. We have a few questions about the secondary and if there's still a chance to address it in free agency, because we know free agency isn't
yeah.
just like a one-day thing,
right.
as we saw, or if it looks like maybe the draft is going to be the primary way that the team looks at
it. I could still see it being either. I mean, you always have that first blush of free agency, and the guys like Trumaine Johnson, you know, the guys at the top of the cornerback board and at any position, really, come flying off the board right away, but there's always players and teams that are waiting it out a little bit. You know, they want to see how the market develops. They maybe don't want to pay the premium for Trumaine Johnson, and they want to see if another guy like an EJ Gaines or somebody like that is going to get big money. And if they don't get signed right away, I mean, they're still going to get big money, but I mean like biggest
right.
money. If they don't sign right away, maybe the price tag comes down a little bit, or maybe teams that had hoped to get one of those realizes, okay, well, let's go to plan B. So there often are, and then it happens again after the draft when teams find out whether they're able to hit certain needs or not. But I could see, I don't think it's any guarantee. I think our main work in free agency is done. But I could see another signing or two here and there, and maybe there's a corner still out there that that would be intriguing at the right price. I would like to see that. As you know, I can't say it often enough.
Yeah, you're all about team secondary over there. Okay, Claude had wanted to know what key positions do we need to fill in the draft. And so I'm going to use that question to springboard off and just overall what we have signed already, the other ones we haven't talked about
yet. That's a good point.
And how that affects now that we know some of these new additions we have, what that will do.
Yeah, because I only talked about one of our free agents. We also got two defensive tackles in Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein. I think you have a nice rotation there now. That had become a position of great need with Clinton McDonald, Silver Saliga both becoming unrestricted free agents and the release of Chris Baker. But now I think with those, with Gerald McCoy and those two guys, and maybe you get something out of Stevie Tuikolovatu who didn't get to play as a rookie, you got the makings of a nice rotation there. And Bo Allen apparently was extremely good at stopping the run in Philadelphia. They had the best run defense in the league. Now, it's pretty hard to isolate one guy and say he was the reason or the main reason, but you know, he said he thought he was a big part of it. And obviously our scouts liked him a lot. He was like the first guy we signed right out of the gate. I think it's probably fair to say, even though it's hard to quantify, that he is a very good run defender. And we were not good in that regard, and certainly not as good as we wanted to be. So that's a nice guy to have in the middle there. And then when the Eagles, I'm sure as soon as the Eagles traded for Michael Bennett, that our guys were watching very closely to see if they were going to let any of their other guys go for cap reasons. And that guy became Vinnie Curry. And Ducks jumped on him right away.
Yeah.
Right away, right? Because he's just what we
need.
I still think we need more.
Right. And I think it's another thing where you're never going to be like, yeah, we have enough of that. Yeah, like there are very few times that about secondary, about line, that you're ever going to have that feeling like you couldn't potentially use more. And it's no knock on certain guys. It's just one of those positions. Yeah. And we've seen, we had that, the line in particular got just devastated with injuries all at once one season. And you can see how quickly you can go through that depth.
Yeah, for sure. You need lots of it. Now, you know, we, in a related move, let go of Robert Ayers, who was going to have a roster bonus the next day. So there's obviously a reason for the timing there. But you kind of just replaced one with the other. So the depth didn't get much deeper, right? Although you got younger. The thing about Vinnie Curry that I like, and it makes me think of one of the very first unrestricted free agent signings we ever had way back in 1993, was a recognizable name for Bucks fans, Hardy Nickerson. He was a linebacker who had had some opportunity to play in Pittsburgh, but wasn't the guy, you know? And he came here, and he was our starting middle linebacker. He was in the 3-4 there. He's our starting middle linebacker in a 4-3, and he was the guy. And he remains one of the best free agent signings we've ever had because we got him at a point where he could ascend, and he sure did. He ascended and became one of the better players in franchise history. You got Vinnie Curry, who was playing in this great rotation in Philadelphia on the D-line. The D-line as a whole was awesome, and he was very good as well, but he was mostly only playing on first and second down. He said he wanted so badly to get out there on third downs. He still had 3 sacks, which isn't overwhelming, but he had 18 quarterback pressures, and given the amount of playing time he was getting, that's a really high number. And quarterback pressures, 18-3, that's not a normal ratio. If you get 18 quarterback pressures, you probably usually will get about 8 or 9 sacks. And he does have a 9-sack season. So I could see Vinnie Curry being a guy whose production after signing with the Buccaneers is better than what it's been before. And that is the gold standard. That is exactly what you want out of a free agent.
Interesting. Okay, we have a question from Tate asking, do you think it's possible to get Saquon Barkley in the draft?
Yeah, and the way that it happens is 4 quarterbacks go in the top 7. Now, you've already seen the Jets trade up, right? I don't believe the people who are speculating they're trade up for someone else. They traded up to 3 to get a quarterback. Sorry, that's clearly it. Cleveland now with signing Carlos Hyde. I had previously thought they might take Barkley at 1 and get a quarterback at 4. Now I think they take a quarterback at 1. They could be a threat to take Barkley at 4. But if he doesn't, if the Giants decide to take a quarterback or Quentin Nelson, then he doesn't go 1, 2, or 3. Cleveland could conceivably take Chubb instead of Barkley. You could see a quarterback going to either Denver or some team trading in there. So then the only team you have to worry about there is Indy at 6. And it would be, I don't think it's very likely at all, but you can paint a scenario.
Anything is possible.
They need help on the O-line. They need help in the secondary. So maybe they go for a Minkah Fitzpatrick or Derwin James. But I could see it happening. Now, I wrote today about, with the Buccaneers, and this is just pure speculation. This isn't coming from Jason Light or anything, but we're at 7 now. There's clearly going to be 2 quarterbacks going in the top 5. If you think Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson are a cut above everybody else, like difference makers at 3 positions that would really help the Buccaneers, if you can get to 5, you're going to get one of them. So would the Bucs be willing to trade from 7 up to 5? Now, no saying if Denver wants to trade down because they're in the same scenario.
Right.
But if you could, it's probably going to cost you at least your third-round pick, high third round pick. Do you want to do that? It's tough.
I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
I might be worth it.
It's so hard to say because, of course, any of those guys being complete franchise-changing guys like people say they could be, if that works out, you're like, of course.
Yeah, but you don't
but
know.
But you don't know. And right. Then you think about how we've found such incredible guys in those mid-rounds.
Chris Godwin, Kendall Beckwith.
It's so hard to say, oh, gosh, I'm so, so glad I don't make those decisions.
Would you trade Chris Godwin or Kendall Beckwith, who we got in the third round last year, to move up from 7-5 to get one of those guys?
Ooh.
I don't think
this
you trade them now that you already
like the
have
big bucks
them.
And not us.
Yeah, I don't think you trade either of those guys, but that's the sort of value that you're trading away. But right. You don't know that you're going to hit on that third round pick. They
right.
Don't all hit.
You don't know. Both of them could be huge. Both of them could be bust. You never know of like first round and third round. None of them is guaranteed.
You know,
it's crazy.
Knife to my throat. I think I would do that deal.
Interesting.
I also don't think that is very likely to happen because I don't see why Denver would be motivated to move back unless they get blown away by somebody trying to get a quarterback.
That's true. Philip said, looks like the best hire so far is Coach Buckner.
Right.
Looks like the free agents love him too.
That was fantastic.
That was
the
great.
Best thing I heard on during those two press conferences because, boy, that's like instant returns on that addition to the staff, right? Apparently, he got Vinny on the phone and just had everything ready, laid out, prepared for him. This is what we do. This is what you would do in our defense. This is exactly what he was so prepared that he blew Vinny Curry away. And, yeah, he's a great recruiter, apparently.
That's great. I love this isn't a question, but I like Brandon says, if we get Chubb or Nelson, our defensive or offensive line could be top in the league. Just that one other piece, they think, which I thought
was interesting. Especially think you're that close with Nelson because now you got Jensen Marpet and Quentin Nelson in the middle.
It's pretty
That'd
serious.
Be hard to beat. Well,
serious.
I should point out that I didn't cover one of our new guys, and that's kicker Chandler Catanzaro. And the thing I like about that signing, I think he's like a lot of the kickers in this league that's a good, solid field goal kicker who's hopefully going to give you 85 to 90%. But his kickoffs last year, he was seventh in the league in touchbacks, and the Bucks were last in that regard. And we've talked about how great of a job Patrick Murray did and what a great story it is and how hard he worked to get that job back, you know, for a second time. And it's a great story. I'm glad it happened. But I could tell from the end of the season press conference with Coach Cutter that we really wanted to improve on kickoffs, and you did that right there.
Yeah, that's true. We also had a question from George who said, do you think that Deshaun and Jameis will be on the same page this season?
You know, you could draw a straight parallel to the year before when, after Jameis's first year with Mike Evans, they were all saying, I just don't think we had the chemistry. We didn't develop. We weren't on the same page. In the second year, they developed it. They got it by then. And so, yeah, I think you could see the same thing happening with Deshaun and Jameis this time around.
Okay.
Which would be huge, especially then you throw Chris Godwin in the mix.
That's pretty big. Chad said, what round do you think the Bucs will address running back if they don't get Saquon? And what running backs in this year's draft class do you think would be the best fit for the Bucs?
I think it's a pretty easy connecting of the dots to think the Buccaneers would use their second round pick on a running back because that's the way this draft appears to be falling. It looks like Saquon Barkley and then a bunch of other guys who are considered fairly even. And most mock drafts you see maybe one more of them going late, and then a run on them in the early second round, right where the Bucks are picking. And the Bucks have a history of using high second round picks on running backs and getting good value out of them. James Wilder, Mike Alstott, Reggie Cobb, Eric Rett. Some of those guys weren't impact players for a very long period of time. And even Doug Martin was really essentially a high second round pick because we had a high second round pick and then traded up to 31.
Right.
So I would say second. I like the LSU guy, Darius Geisey. I don't know. The only thing about it is I don't know if he'd be much of an impact in the passing game. And nowadays, the way the NFL game is, you'd love to get that complete back that makes an impact in the passing game. So, and plus, he's the guy more likely to go late in the first round. So maybe a guy like Sony Michel, something like that. If you want to change of pace, smaller guy, maybe Ronald Jones. But I think if I had my pick, I'd like to get Geis.
Okay. Brian had mentioned Vita Vea, and now wondering, now that we've signed a couple interior, do we think that that changes some of those predictions?
Yeah, I always thought the Vita Vea predictions at number 7 seemed a little high to me. I just thought there was going to be some other position where we could get a real difference maker, even though we needed defensive tackle. You don't need defensive tackle as much anymore, but I'm telling you, if you're picking like 20th and he's there, it'd be hard to pass up because you can still get all those guys on the field quite a bit. You can still get Gerald McCoy and Vita Vea and Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein on the field quite a bit. So I think there would still be some value in it. I don't think it's particularly likely. I just think there's going to be some other needs we're going to want to hit more.
We'll close with this one. Brandon said, if Chubbs, Barkley, and Nelson are gone, who do you like at 7?
I like trading down. That's what I did in our mock draft, because there's like three defensive backs and a couple defensive linemen. I like Marcus Davenport. I like Harold Landry, but seven seems a bit high. If I'm forced to pick there, maybe the Ohio State cornerback, because we could use corners.
All right.
Tough, though. I don't like that scenario at all.
Yeah, so it's a tough one to be put in, that's for sure. All right, that's going to do it for us on Buccaneers Insider Live. Thanks for all your questions. Look forward to it. There were a lot more we didn't get to, so definitely come back next show. Send those in. We're going to get to continue talking free agency and draft for a little bit longer here. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.